Hey, everybody, is it now illegal to read the Bible on a college campus? This new grotesque anti-Semitism bill out of the halls of Congress makes you wonder, did they actually even read the bill? After they've obliterated the Fourth Amendment, they're coming after the First Amendment, too. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Turning Point is the most important organization in America at tpusa.com. Subscribe to our podcast and make sure your friends are subscribed and give us a 5-star review. Secondly, come to our People's Conference in Detroit, Michigan, tpaction.com/peoples, coming up in mid-June in Detroit, tpaction.com. That is tpaction.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
There are so many problems in the country right now. And we've been covering the campus protests, and I got an alert on my phone where somebody said, hey, the House is about to pass H.R. 6090. So we track a lot of these things that are happening. I said, what is H.R. 6090? I said, didn't we just send a bunch of money to Ukraine? We decided the Fourth Amendment doesn't matter. Speaker Johnson came down and said, Fourth Amendment doesn't matter, so I can spy on American citizens. So they got rid of the Fourth Amendment at the U.S. Constitution. The border is completely wide open. We are adding $1 trillion to our deficit and our debt every 100 days. So I said, what is H.R. 6090? We may be going to get some bipartisan support for deportations, asylum claims. Are we going to fix and balance the budget? H.R. 6090, which came out of nowhere, pushed forward by Mike Johnson and Jim Jordan, who's a friend of the show, but he's got to explain himself here. Jim Jordan's got to explain himself. I like Jim a lot. It is a nice-sounding bill. And before we proceed, let me make sure that we are perfectly clear. Hatred of Jews and hatred of any group is not tolerable in decent society. I do not put up with Jew hatred. And I have an 11-year career to prove that. I do not put up when somebody says, oh, the Jews are to blame. Nonsense. I think it's rubbish. I think it's evil. And I think it's wrong. Under the First Amendment and our tradition of free speech, you're allowed to have pretty awful opinions. Absent you invoking specific violence against an individual or a group, you're allowed to say some things that are reprehensible. You're allowed to make a fool of yourself We will challenge those things. We will get into a debate with you on those things. That is the tradition of free speech in this country. So this is a nice sounding bill. And I want to just state again, anti-Semitism has no place in decent society. But the solution to speech you don't like is not to use the bureaucracy or the administrative state to go silence your critics and then to create a censorship leviathan that could be used against people that are actually your allies. H.R. 6090, this is the number one news story in the country right now. To provide for the consideration of a definition of anti-Semitism set forth by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance for the enforcement of federal anti-discrimination laws concerning education programs or activities and for other purposes. The bill is being called the anti-Semitism bill or the anti-anti-Semitism bill. To provide for the consideration of a definition of anti-Semitism set forth by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance for the enforcement of federal anti-discrimination laws concerning education programs or activities and other purposes. So the left is tearing itself apart on these campuses. They are destroying their coalition. And who comes to go bail them out? Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson and leadership in the Republican Party waltz on down to put forward this bill. Which, again, it sounds nice. Who could be against such a bill? Well, let's dive into it. About 90% of House Republicans just voted to pass H.R. 6090, the so-called Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, in response to all of the anti-Israel and Jew-hatred protests on American college campuses. If the point of H.R. 6090 was to defund the diversity, equity, inclusion apparatus that have normalized anti-white, anti-Asian, anti-Jewish discrimination at colleges, that'd be great. But it does the opposite. What they just did, what 90% of Republicans just did, is they strengthened DEI. This gives a new mandate to the federal government and their massive apparatus to justify investigating and suing people for supposedly violating vague civil rights laws. It's a step towards imposing unconstitutional European-style hate speech laws onto America. So what is actually in this bill? It finally, because there's some abstractions here, what do you mean by anti-Semitism? It formally provides a definition of anti-Semitism. But this definition doesn't simply include formally discriminating against Jews, which is already illegal and will not be tolerated. No, it goes further than that. It doesn't even say calling for violence against Jews. Instead, it adopts a new definition created by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, which I'm sure is a great organization. But why they are pushing this and what they are putting forward is a little strange to me. This so-called working definition of anti-Semitism is very long, and it includes a bunch of examples. Guess what? We've actually read this bill. How many lawmakers actually read this before they voted on it? I have a very busy afternoon. You know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be calling any lawmaker that will take my call that are always asking to come on our show and saying, did you guys actually read this bill? Did you read the bill that you guys just passed? Or did you read the title of the bill? So some examples are clear-cut that I agree with. They're anti-Semitic and they should be illegal. For example, if you call or aid justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of radical ideology, that should be illegal. I agree. If you are calling for the extermination of a people group, no question. But then it gets very shaky. Other examples might be very immoral, such as accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than the interests of their own nations. Hold on a second. That's now illegal to say on campus? Yes. You are no longer allowed to say based on this bill, if it becomes law, that Jews might have more loyalty to Israel than to America. Okay, I don't think I would ever make that argument, but that is absolutely constitutionally protected speech. Or this one quote, quote, claiming that the existence of the state of Israel is a racist endeavor. Okay, I'm on the other side of that. I argue that it's not a racist endeavor. But thoughtful people have come to a different conclusion on that. I think they're totally wrong. But they should be allowed to say that. So now if a professor on a campus writes an article that says that Israel's a racist endeavor, we're going to say that's illegal? Or this one, drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. Again, I think it's silly to do that, but now it's illegal? All of these might be dumb arguments to make, but if you define this as anti-Semitism under federal civil rights law, you're basically making it illegal for Americans to criticize a foreign government. Oh, but it gets even worse than that. I have here the most important book in my life, and I hope the book in your life, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. 66 books, one author. And you dive deeper into the law, soon to be Bill of Law, it says that if you claim that the Jews killed Jesus, that is a part of anti-Semitism. Now, obviously, I and all authentic modern Christians do not blame Jews for the death of Christ. But the text of the Bible in John 8, in the first letter of 1 Thessalonians, there are mentions that very well could be now illegal under federal law. Did Mike Johnson, a stated Christian, and did 90% of Republicans in the House of Representatives just pass a bill wanting it to become law that could make it illegal to do a Bible study on a college campus? I'm going to read to you from the Holy Bible. Then I'm going to read to you from the law or the bill, and you decide, because I think they might have. I think they might have passed a bill that would make the studying and the teaching of God's word illegal on American college campuses. All right, I need to tell you guys about Strong Cell. It's amazing. With nearly a million units bought by you, it is more clear than ever that Strong Cell works. It works to combat fatigue, brain fog, joint pain, skin issues, and constant sickness. I've been taking it personally for over a year now, and it's changed my life. I take it in the morning with breakfast, and it helps me with natural energy, so I don't have that afternoon crash. And it gives me the clarity of mind to do all that I do every day, which is a lot. If you're tired of feeling tired, struggling with memory, or constantly getting sick, then you have to give Strong Cell a try. I love this product because it has NAD. By the way, fact check me on this. Go do your own research on NADH, especially if it's mixed with CoQ10 and marine collagen. Strong Cell uses a proprietary delivery of NADH to make sure it goes straight to your cells to help your mitochondria. And since there are cells in every area of your body, then healthier cells equals a healthier you. The amount of people that use Strong Cell now, thanks to us, is remarkable. Over 1 million units sold. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Check it out. Fact check me. Oh, Charlie's just selling me a product. Okay, maybe you don't want more mental acuity. People say, Charlie, how do you do what you do? Maybe it's the NAD that I take. It's changed the lives of many Kirk listeners. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie and use my discount code Charlie to get 20% off your order. This is an emerging body of work and science that is showing that NAD and NADH really might be what your body needs in this contaminated, polluted, and poisoned world. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use special discount code Charlie at checkout to get a special 20% off just for Kirk listeners. Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out right now. So we have the bill here. It's only 5 pages. H.R. 6090 includes in the contemporary definition. Definitions for purposes of the act of anti-Semitism means the definition of anti-Semitism adopted by May 26, 2016 by the IHRA. So then you go and you refer to that. And part of the definition, according to the International Holocaust Remembrance Association, which I'm sure does incredibly important work, may we never forget the horror that happened in the 20th century, is claims of Jews killing Jesus. Now, just from a theological perspective, it's very important to understand that just flippantly saying the Jews killed Jesus, that's not even theologically correct. There were Jews that were involved and crowds that were supportive, but it was an execution act by the Roman government, the Roman polity, It was Pilate's final decision. However, it now says that it is illegal, verboten, on campus to do such things. Quote, using symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism. Example, claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel. Imagine if you are a student at the University of Florida and you run a Bible study. And this bill becomes law, which says, again, quote, using the symbols and images associated with the classic anti-Semitism, for example, claims of Jews killing Jesus. And you decide to run a Bible study with 10 of your friends. And you say, quote, 1 Thessalonians 2:14, for you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and oppose all mankind, by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come to us at last. According to the text of this law, it is illegal to read that passage now on a college campus if it becomes law. Or how about John 8? The later portion of John 8 says very clearly, but you have not known him. I know him. If I were like you, I do not know him. I would be a liar like you, but I do not know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, and he was glad. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. It says previously, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his character, for he is a liar and a father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? Is that, he says here to a group of Abraham's children, which could be considered to be Jews. At the end, it says that the Jews picked up stones to stone him at the end of the chapter. At the end of the chapter, it says that. Let's go into the book of Acts, if we will, written by Luke, the physician. Acts is part two of the book of Luke. Little known fact is that Luke actually wrote most of the New Testament, not Paul. Acts 3, 14 through 15. You disowned the holy and righteous ones and asked that a murderer be released to you. You, he's talking to the Jews, you killed the author of life, but God raised them from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Acts 4, 10. Then know this, and you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. Now, none of these passages are quote-unquote anti-Semitic. They must be taken in context. And the Bible is explicit about blessing Israel, blessing the Jews, of which I live out every single day. But this bill that Republicans voted for, that 90% of Republicans voted for, explicitly says that it is anti-Semitic and now should be illegal if you say that Jews killed Jesus, of which it says in 1 Thessalonians twice in the book of Acts and has, let's just say, could be interpreted as questionable dialogue in the book of John. Did they read this bill? Did Mike Johnson and did the leaders of the House Republican Conference read this bill? And I'm going to go through the list of some of the people that voted for this thing. I don't believe that many of them intended to make passages from the Bible illegal, but explain to me where I'm wrong. I read to you the text of the bill. Example, saying that the Jews killed Jesus. I just gave you four passages in the Bible that say that. Therefore, did they just make the Holy Scriptures illegal on campus? So I want to break this down through multiple ways. I think we thoroughly covered how this very well might outlaw parts of the Bible and saying it, not just on campus, by the way. This bill, if it becomes law, gives the Department of Justice and the Civil Rights Leviathan new weaponry to go after the faithful. How naive, stupid, or complicit Republicans are for passing this, giving more and more power to the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Office. For example, I'm not Catholic, but I have great respect for Catholics and a lot of friends that are Catholic. In the Vatican I version of Mass, before Easter, they will say something of the variety, as it says in Scripture, that Jews turn their back on Jesus. Is that now going to warrant an investigation from the civil rights Leviathan? And before you say I'm fear-mongering, have you been paying attention the last decade of what our government has done to pervert and contort and misuse the federal law to go after everyday American patriots? Even if this law was written plainly and clearly, which it is not, it would still be abused. And it has a nice title, Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. I don't want anti-Semitism. You don't want anti-Semitism. Guess what? This will create even more anti-Semitism. If your goal is to have more people have negative views about the power of Jewish Americans in the political process, this bill does not help. It is a direct tomahawk missile on the First Amendment. Yesterday and last night felt as if somebody at the top level of the regime decided to drop the hammer. And our side is so gullible. Mike Johnson, so gullible. Police dismantled the Fordham occupation last night. They dismantled the UCLA encampment overnight. They raided Hamilton Hall at Columbia overnight. Police are moving into Portland State encampment as we speak. Joe Biden finally condemned the protests. And while all of that is disappearing and is vanishing, Republicans decide to put an unprecedented, historic attack on the First Amendment. And let me just say, so many of these Republicans are quick to go on cable TV and say, well, free speech and free speech and free speech. How many times do we hear that? They do these hearings, these ridiculous hearings in Congress. Oh, you know, we Republicans are the party of free speech. Are you really the party of free speech? Show me. Because this is not in the spirit or tradition of free speech. And don't take my word for it. Let's read what Ben Shapiro, who's a great man, said about this bill. We don't agree on everything. Boy, is that true. However, Ben Shapiro, an Orthodox Jew, says this. Our campuses are left-wing activism training centers. Remove their taxpayer funding. West Virginia minors should not subsidize gender studies, major Hamas fans. The solution is not to pass a bad bill adding yet more free speech violations to the giant free speech violation that is Title VI. Ben Shapiro is spot on. So if Ben Shapiro doesn't support it, who actually does? Well, I'll tell you, almost every single Republican, 90% of your Republican conference does not care about the First Amendment. They only care about speech they like. They only care about speech that they want to hear. And I want to say this, and I want to defend anyone that might say, oh, this is Jews pushing for this. I don't know a single Jewish patriot in my life that supports this or wants this. Not a single one. Vast majority of Jews didn't ask for this. It came out of nowhere. It almost feels like a trap that Republicans fell for. Oh, Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, you know, we have to vote for this. And Speaker Johnson was happy to lay the bait and take the bait. Debt, it keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest rate credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. With Pivotal Debt Solutions, you can cut or even eliminate interest, find programs to write off your balances so you owe less, stop these threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line is they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first to talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That is zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com. Mike Lawler, let's get that tape here. Cut 102. A Republican congressman from New York is celebrating this. And for the 30th time, I just want to repeat. I think that Jew hatred is repulsive. We have a First Amendment to defend even repulsive opinions. Let's play cut 102.
Hey, everyone. It's Congressman Mike Lawler. I just want to say how proud I am that my bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, just passed the House of Representatives 320 votes to 91. This bill has broad bipartisan support and will begin the process of cracking down on the anti-Semitism that we've seen run rampant on college campuses all across America. This is a big day and a big win. Now we got to get it through the Senate and signed into law. I look forward to working to get this across the finish line.
We have plenty of laws, Mr. Lawler. Enforce the ones already on the books. In fact, the problem is not that you need a new bill that expands the civil rights DEI monster that we've seen that goes after different groups unnecessarily. No, but instead, why don't you enforce the laws on the books? And this is your priority? This is the priority of the House Republican Conference? Every day I grieve how this document, the United States Constitution, the greatest political document ever written, is being destroyed. The Bill of Rights has 10 amendments. We have seen two of them effectively vanish in the last couple of weeks. Remember the Fourth Amendment? Republicans don't believe in that. The right of the people to secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. We expanded FISA. Thank you, Mike Johnson, for tiebreaker vote. No warrants, spy on all of your communications, can spy on everything. The First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. Look, I hate to break it to House Republicans. I don't like the Students for Justice of Palestine. I don't like these Palestinian protests. But when they remain peaceful, they're constitutionally protected. Those are protected by the First Amendment, and you should want them to be protected. But swooping in with mass bipartisan support, and save me the lecture on bipartisan support. When something is rapidly supported by the Uniparty, I think it's even worse of an idea. And people are fussing, saying, oh, no, it doesn't make the Bible illegal, which, again, by the word of the law, I think I made a rather crisp argument that it does. However, let's just put that aside. The bill requires the Department of Education to now use this definition with these examples when how it decides to enforce Title VI of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which prohibits forms of racial and religious discrimination. So a school commits any of the above offenses or tolerates students or faculty who do, the Department of Education is now being told they have to sue them for violating civil rights law, the same way it currently sues for race and sex discrimination. And while they aren't explicitly named, it's reasonable to imagine this bill encourages or requires all other civil rights bureaucracies to act the same way. And we have the roll call of all the people who voted for this. And it is overwhelming. The Republicans. And I'm going to be working the phones this afternoon, calling a lot of these people. Saying, hey, just a quick question. Did you read the bill? Like, did you actually look up what the definition was cited in there? Did you go through? I mean, okay, let's just put the Bible part aside, which I think I've done thoroughly. I want to go back to two in particular. You're not allowed to say that Jews are more loyal to Israel or alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than the interests of their own nations. You're not allowed to say that. Well, what if there's an instance where that's true? You're not allowed to say that? Again, the Jews in my life, they don't believe that. They're Jewish patriots. A Jewish listener to the program says, Charlie, what about dual citizens? You can't say they have dual citizenship? So we're now policing fact patterns? A lot of people are dual citizens. You can't say that the state of Israel is a racist endeavor? I don't believe it's a racist endeavor. I love Israel. I fight for Israel every day. But you can't even say that? So let me get this straight. If I have an event on a college campus and I talk to students for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and somebody comes up and says that Israel is racist, the Department of Education could sue that student? No, I think that's totally wrong. I think that's reprehensible. If a student says and comes up and draws comparison of Israeli policy to that of the Nazis, that is now illegal. Do you know how you handle that, Mr. Lawler, and to the most 90% of the Republicans that voted for this? You don't handle that by passing a bill. You handle that by having the courage to go on these campuses, look them in the eye, debate them, film it, and publicize the dialogue. That's what we have done successfully at Turning Point USA. We have successfully gone into the streets and had the tough conversations. And guess what? We're winning in that regard. We have 50 million social media views on a single platform, TikTok, a week. We have 40 to 50 million on Instagram a week just on that type of content. And I'm going to close this talking about the moral right of free speech more broadly, something the Republicans obviously don't believe in. They say they do. Oh, we have all these hearings about campus free speech. And then they come in and parachute saying, well, unless you want to say that Israel is racist, which I don't believe, but people should say it, then we don't believe in that. And by the way, I'm calling some of them out on text message. They say, oh, well, it's not going to pass the Senate. That is a ridiculous response to me. A ridiculous response that you have a show vote because you're afraid of owning the truth because you have some sort of handshake deal with the Senate. Get out of the way. I've been doing this for 11 years. I know campus is probably better than almost anybody in the halls of Congress. And I don't say that braggadociously. I say that factually. I've spoken at almost every major Power 5 school across the country. I say almost. There's, I think, 70 of them. I think I've spoken at 62 of them. I've been all across the country, and I know the campus environment very, very well. I could tell you there is a nonstop campaign to stop me from speaking on these campuses. Thankfully, we have the First Amendment. Thankfully. So you have a choice. You can shut up opinions you don't like, or you can keep the trajectory and the tradition of speech that actually helps us in the long end. Do we believe our ideas are better? Yes. Do we believe that we can back them up with facts and dialogue, reason? Yes. Here's a conversation I had with a gentleman who did not think very highly of Israel. Sweet man, devout Catholic. This is one of hundreds of pieces of tape I could show you. We have now posted this this clip on social media. It's been seen by millions of people. I defend Israel in this clip. I don't think this young man should be investigated by the Department of Education for having a contrarian view. He doesn't say any of the buzzwords there. But what if he says something like, you know, I think Israel is racist. Okay, that's silly. Let's talk about it. So instead of stifling and suffocating their speech, let's have a conversation. Here's an example, because I live this out every day. And if any of these buffoons that passed this thing would have picked up the phone and talked to us, they would have realized that they're actually hurting the movement. They're hurting our own momentum. Before I play this, I just want to make sure you understand. We have been winning these last 2 weeks, and Republicans had to prance in and shoot ourselves in the foot, losing the moral high ground. Here's an example of the dialogue that is necessary with a young man who does not care for Israel. And he's not alone. There's a lot of them out there. But I don't think he should be sued or investigated by the federal government. Play cut 103.
Why is Israel so important to America?
What evidence do you have that the Bible is true?
Well, we have archaeological.
Right. Where is that archaeological evidence found?
In Israel.
Right. Thank you. So in the places controlled by Muslims, are we able to access that archaeological evidence?
No.
No. So therefore, as it's controlled by Jews, we Christians have actually gotten the better end of the deal. So you're asking the question, why should we support Israel? We want the Bible to be proven true. The archaeological evidence is found in Israel. The places where the Muslims can control it completely, like Bethlehem, we are not able to visit those holy sites. I have a theological belief, but I also have a belief that protecting the historical integrity of the Bible is good for all of humanity. And under its current government, we're allowed to access those holy sites. I'm able to go to see where Jesus walked on the water. I'm able to go and see where Jesus rose from the dead. I'm able to see where Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. I'm able to see where Jesus preached the Mount of the Beatitudes. And I think that's worth defending. And I'm afraid that if it was under Muslim control, there is no such guarantees always that Western Christians are gained access to those holy sites. We posted that on TikTok. It has 250,000 views in 1 hour. The top comment, I've actually never heard it stated like this. This is a really well thought out answer. And 1,256 people liked that in 1 hour as far as they agree with that sentiment. The next comment, okay, never heard this argument. Thinking face, solid answer. Now, what am I getting at here? That dialogue is how we win people over. not by top-down brute force, stifling discussion. If someone were to come up to me at one of these events and say the reprehensible anti-Jewish stuff, I would call them out and we would build consensus. Do you know that it actually makes these evil and awful ideas, it makes them more popular the more you censor them? It makes them more popular because then people say, well, if I can't say it, I'm going to try to say it. You should be able to think and speak freely in this country, even if you are offending a group. And by the way, I remember back when the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, defended the right of neo-Nazis to march in downtown Skokie, Illinois, along where a lot of Holocaust survivors lived. But there is a new state of affairs in Washington, D.C., where it's not about freedom of speech. It's not about dialogue. It's about stifling. It's about using power to potentially prevent the word of God from being read. Brought to you by the Republican Party. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.